Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Weekly, your weekly radio program brought to you on Max Sports Channels and Baseball Talk Radio, and it's designed for you to win your league. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the host of this weekly radio program. You can catch us every single day at Max Sports Channels and at Baseball Talk Radio, and you can find us at fantasybaseballweekly.wordpress.com. It's a lot of fun by way of introduction. I am a fantasy writer at athleticsnation.com. I have a daily column at fantasyteamadvice.com and a weekly waiver wire column at Fantasy Team Advice. So if you get a chance, head on over and check out those amazing websites who, well, let me write for them. And I think that's kind of cool. Eric Johnson's in the house. Remember him from last week? He's here again from VivaAlbertos.com. Eric Johnson, welcome to the show once again, dude. How are you?
Hey, Phil. I'm somber, man.
Somber. Me too. I'll tell you what, I can't figure out how to start and close this show still, because it's only number 14, and it's really strange, because I'm doing, you know, we just recorded the daily show. Eric is a guest on my weekly, or my daily show every week, and it's hard to make that transition, and I was trying to kind of block out the fact that Jose Fernandez is the latest victim of Tommy John surgery. Good grief. When is this going to end, man?
I have no idea. I wish it would be soon, though, because we're losing so many young pitchers. I mean, Fernandez, too, is, you know, one of the best starts of any career out there. I mean, you're talking Babe Ruth and Doc Gooden. I mean, that's how good this guy is. And just an absolute joy to watch pitch. You know, he's fun to watch because he doesn't take himself, you know, so seriously. He's out there having fun. And just absolutely filthy stuff. I mean, he's little Pedro. I mean, really. And might be even better than Pedro in the long run. But said such a great start, had such a great end of the season last year. And, you know, now he's done for a year on the shelf with Tommy John. So, oh, it's just, you know, I'm with you, man. When is it all going to end? You know, on the bright side, it really opens up the Cy Young conversation for my man, Adam Wainwright. But other than that, it's just depressing all around.
Yeah, it does open it up. I think Wainwright was in front anyway. I think Wainwright is going to be your Cy Young winner in the National League if it's not Clayton Kershaw. But I think Kershaw's having his own issues with some injuries and struggling a little bit. But yeah, it was just devastating because I remember I woke up about 9 o'clock in the evening, you know, because my hours, as you know, are just completely stupid. and I had just posted my fantasy daily thing, and I see Jose Fernandez's name, and I'm like, what is this? And then I wrote to a friend of mine who would probably know, and he said, are you going to do a special fantasy piece tonight? I said, why? And he said, because it's true, Fernandez is going to need the knife. You might as well go and make some money today. Scoop everybody. And that's kind of what we did. But it's awful, man, to see these young guys just go down. Because I like to target these young guys coming up and root for them and watch them. And Fernandez is one of those guys. Fantastic pitcher. Great kid, too. And now he is toast for the season. And I don't think he's going to be the last one either. And there are so many other injuries. Dylan G's out for 15 days. And there's Matt Wieters is out. He might need Tommy John surgery as well. I mean, I think what they should do, Eric, is just as soon as they draft these kids out of high school, college, whatever, just send them to the surgeon, let them get fixed, and it'll be all right.
You almost wonder, don't you, if that just wouldn't be a better route to go? Because it seems like with pitchers especially, every single one of them at some point is going to have a major elbow or shoulder problem.
That's right. You know, I think there was a stat that 50% of all active major league pitchers have already been under the knife. That's crazy. Yeah, that's just crazy. Jeez. But you know what? We got to give these folks out there some relief. because and I had Jose Fernandez on three of my teams, including in an auction. I paid like too much, probably. But and now I guess,
just like everyone else who had him this year, probably paid too much for him. But yeah, man, was he worth it for that 6 weeks? Man, the best starter in baseball.
70 strikeouts. Oh, Mono, and he was something. One of the guys, I think, you know, all the guys that I list will be 50% owned or less across the board of all the sites that I've checked. I guess the first one we might as well look at is Dallas Keuchel from Houston. He has 47 Ks. He's got a 3.06 ERA, a 1.11 whip. I think he's available in about 36% of average 36% of leagues. I like Dallas a little bit. He did me in the other day in a fantasy a daily game. What about Dallas? You like Dallas?
I like him. He's coming off through a complete game shutout last night. First one of his career. He strikes out four guys for every guy he walks. So he's got great command, good strikeout stuff. He's definitely a guy, if he's available in your league and in Yahoo, I think he's only owned 15% of Yahoo leagues. So if you're in Yahoo, he's probably available for you. I got a couple others I like, Phil. One is Tom Koehler, K-O-E-H-L-E-R. He's a Marlin, and he's probably going to be the guy that's going to get most of the starts that Fernandez had. He's owning about 30% of leagues and 30% of leagues ESPN. Another guy, he doesn't have the great strikeout-to-walk ratio that Kukul has, and he's more of a ground ball pitcher, doesn't get as many strikeouts, but he is going to get a lot of innings. And then the other one is kind of a name, but also kind of a sleeper because everyone's kind of written him off, and that's Josh Beckett. He's pitched really well this year. They've given him absolutely no run support whatsoever. But his stuff is back to where it was when he was in Boston, when he was an absolutely fantastic pitcher. That's a big park out there. They play a lot of games at home in the next 6 weeks, so it'd be a guy to pick up, I think, if you're looking for someone to give you a little bit of a boost after Fernandez dropping out for the year.
Good call on Josh Beckett. I have him on my list. I recommended him the other day in a daily streamer. He came through for me. 40 Ks, you can't beat that. You know who I like, too, is Jason Vargas. He's available he's less than 50% owned. 32 Ks, he's got a 3.04 ERA and a 1.14 whip. John Neese, we talked about him last week. He's still available in more than 50% of your leagues. 36 Ks, 2.17 ERA, 1.07 whip. I'll tell you somebody who's going to be real good, and you heard it here first, Jordan Lyles, 34% owned currently. He has 32 strikeouts, 2.66 ERA, and a 1.09 whip. I like Jordan. And one more guy, Eric, I have is Drew Pomeranz. He's now starting, and he's just raking. And I'm telling you what, Pomeranz is my guy. And as you know, Eric, I write for AthleticsNation.com, and I'm going to suggest this kid all over the place. They love Drew Pomeranz at AthleticsNation.com. I got to tell you, man, even catchers are going out. I mentioned Matt Wieters earlier in the show. Tommy John for a catcher. What does that do? I mean, what happens to Matt Wieters now?
That's a good question. I'm really not sure if he's gonna go under the knife. And I hadn't heard if it was for sure that he was gonna do that yet, or if they were gonna try a little rehab, because they are able to DH him, and they do kind of need his stick in their lineup, especially with all the injury problems they've had in Baltimore. So I'm not real sure kind of what their plan is as far as what to do with him. But if he is going to go under it, then he's probably going to be done because he can't hit at all once he has surgery. So he'll be done till, I'm trying to think. Xavier Nady is the last guy I remember, position player who had Tommy John. And I remember he did come back, you know, inside of a year, unlike pitching injuries where they're out for, 12 to 14 months. It seems like he'd be out, but I would guess it'd be a season ender for him.
Oh, it's definitely a season. And Rafael Furcal had it, too. And he's kind of struggling. But they are waiting until July to see what they're going to do. He's with the team. But he is on a DL, obviously, and he is not doing any baseball activities. They're going to reevaluate in July. If he needs Tommy John, he'll be out a year for sure. I don't know what that does when you're a catcher because you have to make that long throw. I guess it's different, though, for position players as opposed to pitchers. I don't know, but with Wieters out, it's great. I'll tell you what, Baltimore, Nelson Cruz, people told me I was absolutely stupid. In week two of this show, I was doing it by myself, which is probably why they thought I was stupid. But they felt that I was overvaluing Nelson Cruz. And I'm thinking I didn't.
Yeah, and you know what? You and Baltimore are about the only ones that were not asleep at the wheel there. I have a friend who's a Reds fan, and I give him crap at least twice a week about how his team could have probably signed Nelson Cruz for $6 million and didn't do it, and now have just basically two giant holes in their outfield that he could be filling right now. And, you know, he's going to give back half as many runs as he creates, but it's hard to give up on a bat that's as good as his.
I like Nelson Cruz, always have. I have him in every single league that I'm in, and I got him for nothing in every single league. And I said, you should have listened to my show. But I'm glad that you didn't. Now, catchers, we'll give them a couple, I guess. I'm thinking the kid from Seattle, Mike Zunino. He's having a pretty decent season. He's had scored 14 runs. He's hit 6 bombs, 17 RBIs, and he's batting .257. I like Mike Zunino.
Yeah, slugging .495. He's a top prospect. He was one of the top 10 guys in the draft a few years back. He can really, really hit. He's one of the reasons why they let John Jaso go a couple years ago. he can really play, and he's got good power. So he's definitely a guy I would pick up. John Jaso is another one you could pick up. He gets plenty of at-bats. He qualifies as a catcher, but he gets plenty of at-bats at DH as well. And also first base, so he kind of rotates in and out of there. And then, of course, we've been beating the drum for this guy for 3 weeks, and no one seems to be paying attention, Phil, because Carlos Ruiz is still out there. He's only 27% owned in Yahoo leagues. Started a little bit slow this year, but he's going to get pretty much every single PA behind the plate for Philadelphia.
Yep, and he's 40% owned in ESPN leagues, and he's 100% owned in the Phil Nason's leagues because – I grabbed him quick because I had Devin Masarocco, and I needed somebody to replace him. And when I saw Ruiz, I snatched him, and I just decided to go straight across the board and replace a lot of people with Ruiz. And y'all can just not listen to us because Eric and I will just continue to clean up in our leagues with Carlos Ruiz. And you know what? You brought up John Jay, so that's a great thing. Derek Norris is another one. This is a situation I usually try to avoid, the platoon situation, but not in this case because these guys are both raking. I mean, Derek Norris is 11 runs scored, 4 bombs, 20 RBIs, batting .365. And we've already talked about John Jay, so we talked about them on Thursday's show that Eric was a part of, our daily show. And I got to tell you, you can't go wrong with these guys, and neither of them are owned in more than 10% of their leagues. People are sleeping at the wheel and waiting for big names, and sometimes that doesn't work in fantasy baseball. A lot of times it doesn't work in fantasy baseball. We just gave you 3 names you probably don't even know exist, and they're going to be great guys, great additions. And the Ruiz thing boggles my mind. When you're talking about the catcher spot, how many catchers can stroke the ball? Not many. And he's one of them. And to be available in more than 40% of your leagues? Oh, my own.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, pretty much a perennial all-star for 3 or 4 years there, back when Philadelphia was a really good ball club. He can really hit. And I think a lot of guys have had trouble adjusting to how much lower the run scoring environment is of baseball this year. If you can find a catcher that's slugging .450, .430 to .450 and hitting in the .260 to .270 range, that's a guy you got to be on right now because he's going to be in the top, 50% of catchers in baseball. So especially if you have a two catcher league. I mean, there's guys out there. There's Wellington Castillo. He's out there. He's under 10% owned. Yasmani Grandal. He's under 10% owned. Those are guys you really have to be looking at. If they're putting up an OPS in that 700s, mid 700s range, I mean, they're not going to hurt you at all by putting them in the lineup.
Nope, they sure aren't. And, you know, we talk a lot about OPS and OBP and WHIP and this and that, sabermetric numbers. And a listener asked, what sabermetric stats each of us use to determine our picks and predictions, or do we have a different system? Which stats do you rely on the most, Eric, for you to make the picks that you do and the predictions that you do and how you win your league?
Well, what I'm looking at stats is not so much kind of the counting stats and what they've done as far as home runs hit, number of hits, and number of RBIs, because those things, there's really not a predictive nature to them. So I'm trying to look generally at what we in the sabermetrics community call rate statistics. On-base percentage is one. Slugging percentage is another. A statistic called ISO, or isolated power, is another one. And those tend to have some predictive measures. So you can look at a guy who might be struggling a little bit, okay? And if you see kind of a trend where his OBP improves a little bit, slugging and ISO improve a little bit, that might be a guy who's about to go on a tear. Another one I look at for hitters is BABIP, or batting average on balls in play. And you can kind of tell if a guy's been unlucky or lucky, depending on kind of how much he is exceeding his career batting average on balls in play. So generally, the league hits somewhere between 290 and 310 on balls in play. Okay. Most hitters, there's some hitters who are, you know, like Mike Trouts. The Mike Trouts of the world hit like 350 on balls in play because they're fast. They hit the ball hard everywhere. Okay. But there's certain guys who, you know, you might have a guy who's hitting 220 this year. My man, Alan Craig, hitting like 230 on balls in play this year for the Cardinals. So he's been unlucky to start the year. So that's a guy who may go on a tear very soon. So you'd pick him up now or make a trade for him now and buy low. And he's probably going to reward you on the long run coming back. For pitchers, the two I like to look at the most are strikeout to walk. Okay, so how many strikeouts do they get for walks? And if you're in a 5x5 roto league, that's big for you, because strikeouts are going to be one of your stats, your rate stats. Okay, and WHIP is going to be another one. So if they're striking out four guys for every one that they walk, that's a guy who's going to win you two categories pretty much every time he goes out there and starts. And guys with dominant stuff like that tend to suppress hits as well. And another one that I like to look at in terms of pitchers, especially for 5x5 roto leagues, is quality starts. How many times are they getting into the sixth inning? How many times are they getting into the seventh inning? Because guys who only go five innings have a really tough time getting wins, because you got to get four good innings out of your bullpen and you got to leave with the lead. And you were bringing up Drew Pomeranz. That's the thing. He's been great, but he's got no quality starts yet. I know he just got into the rotation, but he hasn't gotten out of the fifth inning yet. So it's going to be tough for him to pick up wins. He's going to be dominant everywhere else. And wins is kind of a crappy stat because it relies on your team to score runs for you. But you need guys to get into the sixth and seventh in your 5x5 roto if you want to get any wins at all.
Those are all good numbers and good ideas. Me, I'm not the biggest sabermetric guy out there. I use BABIP as well. But mostly what I do is I look at the scoring categories and I focus on those, because that's what's going to win my league. This way I don't have to get out my crystal ball, because I don't have a lot of time to do it. But I pay attention to strikeout to walk rate. I pay attention the strikeout rate for hitters too. I like to pay attention to that. I don't like hitters that strike out a lot. They make me nervous, and they kill my batting average in a roto league. And I don't like to lose in any of my categories. So I kind of pay attention to that. For pitchers, though, I look at strikeouts. And I look at the wins. And I get what you're saying about Drew Pomeranz. And here's the thing, they're stretching him out, though, because, you know, they flip-flopped him so many different places. And they sent him down to the minors in order to start so that they could stretch him out. I think he's going to get that opportunity. But those are the stats that I use. And, I mean, that's not scientific, but I do pretty well. And I know Eric is a sabermetrics guy. I knew that when I talked to him the first 2 minutes of our conversation. And that's why he's here, because he's a lot smarter than I am, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's a really good thing. Closer's on the hot seat, Eric. Ernesto Friere has taken over for Joe Smith, as I predicted last week. If you are an Angels fan, Eric, and I know you're not, that's got to make them want to pull out their hair, because Ernesto Friere is decent at times. Joe Smith is decent at times. But there are other times when they look like they're starring in the Major League Four. I mean, come on.
He defies sabermetrics, Phil, that guy, because he strikes out a ton of people. He does. But he also gives up hits, and he gives up a lot of walks. So he's constantly flirting with danger all the time, and eventually that's going to come back and burn you, and it really did the first, you know, month or so of the season. So, you know, he's one of those guys. Yeah, I would compare him to Rod Beck, would be another one, where it's just a heart attack every time he goes out there. There's absolutely no way he can come into a game and give you just three straight outs, you know, on a consistent basis, like really, really good closers and Rivera, Aroldis Chapman, and those guys. But, you know, the guy throws 100 miles an hour, so he's going to get every opportunity to take those back. And I'm not sold on Smith. But he's just a guy that Socia just kept going to. So one of those where you can't necessarily just dump him, because Friere is, you know, basically so combustible. But it seems like, you know, he's got the hold on it right now. And I guess we'll just have to see maybe how it goes the next couple of weeks.
Or the next couple of days over yeah. there. You never know. Here's another one. Kyle Farnsworth is now the closer of the New York Mets. Ugh. I don't even like to look at the New York Mets team. But Farnsworth, he's going to be around for about another two or three games. And then it'll be back to Jose Valverde again. Ugh. And Tommy Hunter from Baltimore, he's another one who's going to have issues. If you have any of these guys on your roster, and I hope that you don't, keep an eye on these guys. Brian Shaw from Cleveland is another one to watch out for. Chad Qualls from Houston. Jim Johnson. By the way, Luke Gregerson cost me some money blowing that save, that rat. I'm like, they bring in Abad, and he pitches well. They bring in Otero, and he pitches well. And then they bring in Gregerson in the eighth and screwed everything up. Because I had Tommy Malone as my spot starter. and he would have had a win, man. He pitched so well, man. This is fantasy baseball, folks. Trust us, we commiserate with you.
That's just the way things are. Yeah, and Doolittle, of course, picked up the second save. He picked up his second save last night. It's definitely closer by committee over there. It's hard to really recommend someone to pick up. Doolittle's great. Why he's never closed before, I don't know. Partially, he's got kind of a crappy split against righties, but he's been really, really good this year and was really good for most of last year. When he's on, lefties can't hit him at all, and he's really a lefty specialist. So that's one guy to look at. Another one, I have Addison Reed in a number of leagues, and I should have known better. I should have traded him this offseason in both of my keeper leagues when he got dealt to Arizona, which, you know, basically is just death to all closers at park because it's such a launching pad. He's striking out more guys than last year, walking fewer guys than last year, but he's giving up a ton of home runs, and most of them are at home. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. Mainly because Brad Ziegler has been so good setting up for him that eventually, you know, a couple more blown saves, Ziegler's probably going to get a shot.
Yep, he is. You know who I picked up this week was Matt Lindstrom. And he got the save in the game I got screwed in. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
sometimes you just shrug your shoulders and move on, right?
That's what I try to do. Yes, of course. It's just horrible. I'll tell you, closers are the worst. I mean, unless you've got a Craig Kimbrell or probably, I guess, Joaquin Soria is another one. Glenn Perkins is pretty good. It's tough. You know, Addison Reed, I you have my sympathies because I had him too. And I bought into the hype, and I shouldn't have done it. And I'm glad that I released him and let him go. And that's important. You know who I just despise because as a Mets fan is Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod. But K-Rod's 100% owned. If you can get him in a trade, he might be worth it because Milwaukee's playing really good baseball. They're scoring runs, and they're going to be close games every night just about. And he's going to get his opportunities. K-Rod. And then LaTroy Hawkins. What the hell? LaTroy Hawkins has like 10 saves. What is the deal with him?
Well, his team's winning a lot of games, and they're scoring a ton of runs. And that ought to be a little bit of a concern for you with LaTroy Hawkins because they're scoring a ton of runs. I think they lead baseball in runs scored. And yet he still has 11 saves. So that means their pitching staff has given up a lot of runs. The two guys behind him, too, Adam Ottavino has been really good this year. Rex Brothers was really good last year and struggled a little bit to start this season. But both of those guys could close in the future. So if you're looking at – I would bet on Brothers more than Ottavino. Ottavino is a former Cardinal, and I've seen firsthand how the blowups can happen with him. Just looking around baseball, Frankie Rodriguez, yeah, Francisco K-Rod has been ridiculous this year, and he's doing it completely differently than how he did it when he was with the Angels. You know, if you were playing fantasy baseball 6, 7, 8 years ago, he was one of the, you know, he was a $20 to $25 closer because he was struck out a ton of guys, and he's back to doing that again, and now there's no walks. He's not walking anybody. He's just going straight after guys. Fastball, slider. He's not throwing the big curveball anymore. And has been insane effective to my detriment because I had actually picked up Will Smith thinking at some point he was going to close this year, and he's not. So looking around the league, you talked about Brian Shaw in Cleveland. I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I think Cody Allen is the guy to have in Cleveland. I think eventually he is going to grab that closer's role and he's going to hang on to it for a good long time. They're just right now, Francona is one of those guys that he likes to throw his best reliever in the highest leverage situation in the game. So Allen is actually throwing in a lot more high leverage situations than their closer is. He's throwing in the eighth inning of one run games with a man on. He's the guy that comes in and is the fireman. But I think at some point they're going to have to push him into the back end of the bullpen, especially as bad as they've had it at the back end this year.
That's all great stuff. And a great time talking fantasy baseball with you, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the show with me, Eric.
Thanks again, Phil. We'll talk next week.
We certainly will. That was Eric Johnson. You can find him at VivaAlbertos.com. And that's going to close this edition of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. We'd like to thank you all for taking the time to like us on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter at FlashTennis31. Please, please visit Max Sports Channels and Baseball Talk Radio. Great radio shows, great radio stations hosting nothing but quality sports. Until next week, you all be good and have fun with your leagues. And if you have Jose Fernandez, you still have my sympathies. See you next week.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. special programming on the weekends, and in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.